Well, good evening. Good to have all of you here. Braving the weather. We had a lot of rain, A much needed lot of rain, I'd say. Let's just have a word of prayer before we get into God's word tonight, and I just pray that it blesses all of us. Father God, we just want to thank you this day that we've set aside. What took place this morning, Father, and during the ministry of worship, the ministry, Lord God, this morning of your word going forth and the things that you've done at the altar, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the people this morning that were healed in their bodies. We thank you again tonight, Lord God, as your word goes forth. Lord, that you would open our hearts and cause your word to set deep in our spirits, Lord. That it would take root, deep root, Father God, within us. And that you would cause it to grow, Father. And to do things, Lord God, that are well beyond our limitations. As we move in the power of your spirit, for it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that each of us, Lord God, as we look at the journey that each of us are on in our own personal lives, Lord, that you'd cause us to catch a glimpse of Jesus tonight, and that you'd cause us, Lord God, to know what it is and to become, if we're not, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and wonderful name, and all the saints said, amen. God bless you. Well, I've got a message tonight I'm going to share, and it's the story of two basins, water bowls. The story of two basins. It's a story about either serving or lack of serving. A heart that is one who has a heart to serve, another who does not have a heart to serve and only takes care of the things that are impending upon one's own selfish desires and things of that nature. But each one of us have a choice to either be and serve the Lord in the things that he's called us to do by his own example and the words that he's left us, or we can choose the other and not being one who serves, is not a server of other people. Think about that one. Are you serving other people tonight? Or do you think you're serving other people tonight? Maybe the Lord tonight through his word will show you something of an area that you might have fallen short and you thought you were a servant of the Lord, but you've really not been serving the Lord. Because when you serve the Lord, you're serving the body of Jesus. Let's take a look at a couple of stories tonight. We're going to look at the first basin. The first story of the story of the first basin, and it's found in Matthew chapter 27, and beginning with verse 11. And this is toward the end of Jesus' reign and his life on the earth, as it is in the natural. And Jesus is at the trial before Pontius Pilate. And it says in verse 11, now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. Are you king of the Jews? The governor asked him. And Jesus replied, you have said it. But when the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. Don't you hear all these charges they're bringing against you? Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of these charges, much to the governor's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. As the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah? He knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. So he knew that. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message, leave that innocent man alone. Right out of the clear blue, right off the left side. Leave that innocent man alone. I've suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night. Meanwhile, the leading priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. How vehement people were at that particular time, eh? So the governor asked again, he says, which of these two do you want me to release to you? And the crowd shouted back, Barabbas. Pilate responded, then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? And they shouted back, crucify him. Why? Pilate demanded. What crime has he committed? But the mob roared even louder, crucify him. And Pilate saw that this wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a basin or a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours. That was one basin that we see tonight, a water basin of a choice that a man who had authority and jurisdiction over a situation, and we know this is about Jesus, but we're talking about a man who is a head authority in this government, the Roman Empire. He had the opportunity to acquit Jesus. He had the power and the authority to acquit Jesus, to get him off the hook, in a sense. But instead, he called for a basin of water, a ritualistic thing to show the people that he was not going to get involved, nor was he going to serve what these people or what Jesus was asking, or whatever the occasion was. He was not going to serve this situation that he found himself in with Jesus. And so he washed his hands of the entire matter. You know, the attitude that he has in this story is the attitude, and I have to put myself, I have to keep on looking at myself. He has the attitude of a lot of people in the body of Christ as well, not to get involved. Too hard of a case. Don't have time to do this. It's below me. I have things. God has called me to do this. And inside there's a niggling. There's a choice that you know that you have to make. And you go the opposite way and don't get involved. So you wash your hands in a sense, just like Pilate did, of a situation. I want us to take a look at the other water basin. The other story is found in Mark chapter 10. And it starts in Mark chapter 10 and verse 35. And this is Jesus now. And he's teaching others about serving. And again, he's talking and about these things close to a time when he's going to be put to death. And this is Jesus' reply, and this is the whole thing about Jesus now. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. Now, a lot of times, again, I've said, when people ask Jesus for something or they project something of a question or they start talking to Jesus, it's like Jesus is just, he comes at a completely different angle. And so they've asked him, we'd like you to do us a favor. And he says, what is your request? They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they replied, we're able. That was a quick reply. And then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from the bitter cup and be baptized with the baptism of suffering. And they did afterwards. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. And when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lorded over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. There's an attitude that Jesus is showing here. We see it in council. We see it in school. We see it in our Christian walk. And each of us have an attitude that we play tennis every day with God and every day with people and every day with the situations that people are in. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Is anyone here, you don't have to raise your hands, anyone here in a leadership position or being in a leadership position? And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave or servant of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom. And it says that Jesus on that night took a basin of water and to show them his servanthood, because that's how he came, to serve, not to lord over. He began to wash the feet of his disciples. And Peter became indignant. Why did Peter become indignant of what Jesus was doing? Because in the days that these people lived, to wash the feet of another person was done by a person of very low stature, very low status in their walk of life. And for Jesus, who claimed to be the Messiah and the Savior of the world, to bow himself down and take a basin of water and wash the feet of the men that he walked with was something that they beheld in awe and also indignant. They looked at it as indignant, but they had to deal with it. What was Jesus trying to show them? Unless I can receive, let's take a look at, is it possible I didn't put this verse of scripture? That's John chapter 13, if you don't, John chapter 13 and verse 8. Possible to get that up there? And I'll read it to you. John chapter 13 and verse 8. Actually, let's go to 6. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And this is the attitude that Peter had. It was an indignant thing that Jesus was about to do. Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm going to do, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." And Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." That's quite a statement. That's a real heavy statement. In other words, pretty much, unless I can believe in the same way that Jesus, what he's doing for me and what he's doing toward me, if I can believe that, if I can't believe that by faith, then I will not have a part with Jesus. The things that I truly know what good Jesus seeks of me, I have to believe that he seeks my good. And if I don't believe that he's seeking my good, even when it comes to taking a basin and washing my feet, doing something lowly as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, then I really don't have a part, because it's accepting that part of fellowship that's the humility of Almighty God. You see, God says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due season he'll exalt you. But for God to ask us to do that, he showed us how to do it, and we can see it in Jesus' life. He bowed himself. He lowered himself. The one who created all things, the one who had power over all things, knelt down that night, took a basin of water, and chose to serve his beloved people. On the one hand, we have Herod, who chose not to get involved, took a basin of water, and washed his hands of the whole deal. But he had power to take care of it. When you think about that, that's the whole part of history could have been changed. Or at least part of that story. But that's the way it was done. And then on the other hand, you see Jesus again taking that and causing himself to be in front of his men, become a servant. And that's what they called him. Jesus was the servant of all men. Without a servant's heart, you'll never be tempted to use the gift for you, not just for yourself. If you don't take the attitude of a servant, you'll use the gift that God has given you to only serve yourself for self-gratification. How many people do we see that have wonderful gifts? I mean, if I could just say this in the right way, we see people on, you know, X Factor and The Voice and all of these different things, and it's not to knock on the giftings that these kids have, and it's not really their fault. But, you know, they're being shown that they can receive something, and all that they're doing, the past people that have won these talent quests, you see a lot of them on TV, and they're just having a flinging life, and most of them get on drugs and the whole lot. Because it's something that there's a choice that they really didn't know the depth that they were getting into, and it's not really their fault. It was the fault of the Antichrist system, setting them up to fall, setting them up not to be able to make a right choice. What if they were told a story about Jesus? And what if they were introduced to people who used the gift even in singing or dancing? And did it all for the glory of God to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There'd be a big difference in the way that they're going to go. You watch, you keep on, I just pray for these young people that they keep on coming up, and the way that the things that they're being introduced to, the kind of a life that is so, oh, I've just wanted to do this all my life, and they're 16 years old, all my life, you got to be joking. You know, in psychology, they say that a person, even up to the age of 21, is not able to make proper judgment. It's just because of maturity level. That's all it is. Not that they're stupid, but they are not mature enough to make proper choice. And what they're doing with these young kids and young people is they're flinging them out into these caverns of success and fame. And they don't know how to handle that. But it's interesting, the depths of a person, a young person, that will grab a hold of the sight and the glimpse of what Jesus did in his life, serving, and actually begin to see the life of Christ and to hold on to that and say, God, I want that in my life. I don't want to be like the world and what they're doing. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like the men and the women and the young people that have been serving God. They made a choice to humble themselves and to be a servant of you, Lord. I want to read something to you. I read it to Pastor Marianne the other morning in my devotions in the morning, and it hit me hard when I first read it, and then I read it to Pastor Marianne and I broke. I couldn't read it. But it's powerful. Bill Wilson, Bill's Sunday schools, anywhere in the worst areas of New York City. And there's other people in other countries that take the skeletal form of what he has done and apply it to their community as well and their church. And Sunday schools, because of this man's passion, what he had passed through when he was a 9-year-old boy, being left by his mom on a curb, saying to him, Bill, I'll come back for you in a little bit. And the next day, she wasn't there. And the next day, she wasn't there. And 3 days later, she wasn't there. His mom abandoned him. And the passion that this man now in his 60s has, he's never lost the passion and the drive and the servant of Christ attitude to serve kids, to pick them up in the ghettos, from the ghettos, to pick them up from dysfunctional families and to bring them into a godly atmosphere of praise and worship and leaders that know Christ. He's got the largest Sunday school, 100,000 plus, whatever, if they all came. But he talks about a little Puerto Rican lady who wasn't able to speak English. My best mates were Puerto Rican when I was a young fella growing up in Niagara Falls. My best mates were Puerto Rican, and we had some good times, man. they're good. Even to this day, they're still my best mates. They're still good friends. But I can sort of relate to this because I remember Morales was their last name. Sam Morales is my best mate, and Eric. And I can remember Tomazita was his mom, and she never spoke English that well. So I can picture this woman and what I'm about to tell you in this little story coming up. And she used to get so angry with us because she used to say, instead of saying would, she used to go ood. And then Eric or Sam used to mock her, saying, ood, mom, ood, it's wood, mom. And she used to get a cucumber and throw it right across the room and almost knock him out. Had a hot temper, but she was a Christian lady. I can remember when sometimes I'd stay overnight and we'd play Monopoly till 3 a.m, have pizza and all these kinds of things, and watch the late show and, you know, all these things going on. We just had a great time together. But I can remember listening to his mom in the morning in her room with the door locked, and speaking in tongues, praying. And I can hear Samuelito, Enrico, Ruben, and all the children's names, seven kids' names, praying for them in the Holy Ghost. Some have passed away. There's a few that are not walking with Jesus, and there are some that are still walking with Jesus. But I tell you what, that lady grabbed a hold of the altar, man, and she lowered herself to serve her kids in prayer and praying in tongues, man. And she, what a marvelous little lady. And what a hot chili she made, too. Anyways, there was this little Puerto Rican lady who could barely speak a word of English. She came to Bill Wilson one day, and she says, Pastor Bill, she says, I want to do something for God, please. And Bill said, okay, ride a different Sunday school bus every week and just love the kids. So she rode a different bus. Bill has dozens of them. And began to love the children on the buses. After several months, she became attached to one little boy. She says, I don't want to change buses anymore. I want to stay on this school bus every week. This little boy came to Sunday school every week with his sister and sat on the lady's lap. But he never said a word. Just a little boy. She would repeatedly tell him, I love you. And Jesus loves you. One day, to her amazement, he turned around and stammered, I love you too. And then gave her a big hug. That was at 2:30 on a Sunday afternoon. At 6:30 that night, the boy was found dead in a dumpster under a fire escape. His mother had beaten him to death. That's reality. That's reality. And his body was thrown in the trash. I love you and Jesus loves you. Those were some of the last words this little boy heard in his short life. From the lips of a Puerto Rican lady who could hardly speak any English, but was told, just get on the buses and love the kids. And she did. She began to serve. That's how she served. And I was just picturing this going on. You know, when you see the kids, you see people. They don't have to be kids. They can be people just walking by us. And we don't know what they're going through. You know, Robin Williams this week, what a horrific blow. I almost wept because I don't know if this man ever come to know Jesus, but he made people laugh. He made me laugh, bust a gut. And he's gone. But he used to love people. He used to take the time to do things with people, just encourage young people a lot of times, and older people as well, people who are under pressure. Bill Wilson says, who among us is qualified to minister? Who among us even knows what to do? Not you and not me. But he says, I ran to an altar once and got some fire and just went. When he was at that camp, that pastor in his early days, when he was sitting on the curb, that pastor that took the time to minister, to stoop, stop his truck, stoop over, run across the street, and talk to this young kid, brought him to camp, and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see what Bill Wilson is doing today is absolutely astounding. It's because one man humbled himself. One man served what the Lord asked him to do. Stop your truck, go across the street, and touch this young boy. So this woman, she did the same thing. She could not speak a word of English. And what about you? What about me? That's my message. That's the message for tonight. There's two basins each of us have to look at. It's a basin of self-gratification. It's a basin of washing our hands of situations in other people's lives. Too hard basket, too hard a case to take on. I don't have the time to do this, nor do I want to do it. Looking at life and looking at other people's lives in the light of what you're going through, instead of looking at the light of what God is able to do if you just listen. How many people would walk by us each day, or sometimes they're sitting in a cafe like Voffler's, or sitting in a Fabrice, or they're in one of the mall places just walking around or maybe sitting down. And what God would be able to do through their lives if we were to go over and to do something that God leads us to do. To become a servant to people. You know, sometimes it's just if somebody drops something on the floor and you're walking by, it's even picking it up and just giving them a smile. You don't have to say anything. Sometimes it's just going up to a person. I know Sue Ellen does this a lot in the church, and there's other people that do it as well. But going up to a person saying, I'd like to shout you coffee. I'd like to shout you something to eat. Sit down. No worries, my shout. What that does for a person sometimes. You see, it's connecting them to not only to yourself and not just doing it because you want to feel good that I've served Jesus today. But it's taking the basin of being a servant and making a difference, not just for your life, but in the life of someone else that God has asked you to touch. How many Bill Wilsons are out there? How many Catherine Kuhlmans are out there? How many other people that we don't know that are out there that are just sitting that God is able and ready and wanting so desperately to touch and to allow the anointing that's within us to flow over as we serve God to touch them so that he can start making a mark in their lives and bring them to the purpose of what he's actually made them to do. You see, it's not fame. The game is not fame. That's shame. Because how many people are going to hell because of fame? That's not making a mark on people's lives. It's just stirring up emotion. I don't say that, you know, you stop watching these programs, but I'm just saying, you know, when you start looking around, start looking at what Jesus did, how he served people day after day after day for 3.5 short years, how he served people. And then he ignited the other men that were with him. And then all down through the centuries, even up to the present, we've got people whose lives have taken on a different flavor because they decided to follow Jesus and to serve people, to serve God through people, serving people. You know, I think of Heidi Baker. People like her that have just lifted up and gone over to Africa and were just finding and scooping up, scraping up the mass mess that was out there in Africa and changing lives, almost to the point of causing her own life many times to be extinguished. But the Holy Spirit had a purpose for her being there and does today. Jenny O'Chang, who was one of the speakers that we know. We had her. Was she at our church? Yeah, she was at our church not too many years ago, who started an oasis, in a sense, a work in Kenya, and causing, you know, looking for the young kids. And she had four of her own young kids all by herself going out and wanting to serve God in a capacity of getting kids and starting an orphanage and raising up. And what she's got now is just an absolute dynamo what God has done, the lives that have been changed. You know, even in the prison ministries, it's just astounding what the Word of God has done. You know, guys in prison, women in prison in Africa and Kenya, going around and taking Bible courses and then graduating in prison. And then you see them dancing during their celebration, during their graduation, and you see them singing songs, and then they say afterwards, "We're going to preach the gospel to all the world." And you think to yourself, well, how in the world are prisoners able to preach the gospel to all the world? But, you know, it's something that was not in the mind of man, because God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You've got a whole predicament where these people that are in prison, because of the change in their lives and what is happening because of how they're affecting their own prison inmates, they're being given permission to go to other countries in Africa to preach the gospel in the prisons. And people are getting saved. Prisoners are being set free. That's serving. Had it not been for a lady to go out there, like even Jenny O'Chang, to serve God in that capacity. I wonder what God has in store for each of us tonight. We have a choice. You can either have a water basin that you can wash your hands of things and say, "I'm fed up with it. I don't like this church. I don't want to get involved in anything that this church has to do. If I do come to church, I just want to sit. I just want to suck everything up." You can do that if you want. Or you can bring your basin to the altar on Sundays or where you're seated and ask God, "Lord, I wash my hands of the world. And what I want to do now is I want to start washing the feet of people. I want to serve people. Would you lead me?" Let's stand to our feet. Can we sing maybe just one song to close up tonight?